ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So last week, you didn't do text 2 last week because it was the birthday. Huh? About Madhvacharya, and also it was the birthday of Satyade. Tasya janma mahabuddhehe. Tasya janma mahabuddhehe. Karmani cha mahatmanah. Karmani cha mahatmanah. Nidhanang cha yatha eva asit. Nidhanang cha yatha. Yathai vasit saha pretya gatavan yatha sapretya gatavan yatha tasya janma mahabuddhehe karmani cha mahatmanah nidhanang cha yathai vasit Sapretya Gatavanyata. Tasya Janma Mahabuddhehe. Karmani Cha Mahatmanah. Nidhanam Cha Yathai Vasit. Sapretya Gatavanyata. Tasya janma mahabuddhehe karmani cha mahatmanah nidhanang cha yathai vasit sapretya gatavan yatha tasya janma mahabuddhehe karmani cha mahatmanah Do it over. Nidhanang cha yathai vasit. Sapretya gatavan yatha. Tasya janma mahabuddhehe. Karmani cha mahatmanah. Nidhanang cha yathai vasit sapretya gatavan yatha tasya his of Maharaj Parikshit janma birth mahabuddhehe of great intelligence karmani activities cha also Mahatmanaha of the great devotee. Nidhanam demise. Cha also. Yatha as it was. Eva of course. Asit happened. Saha he. Pretya destination after death. Gatavan achieved. Yatha as it were. Translation. How was the great emperor Parikshit, who was a highly intelligent and great devotee, born in that womb? How did his death take place, and what did he achieve after his death? Please repeat. How was the great emperor Parikshit, who was a highly intelligent and great devotee, born in that womb? How did his death take place? And what did he achieve after his death? Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The king of Hastinapura, now Delhi, used to be the emperor of the world, at least till the time of the son of Emperor Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit was saved by the Lord in the womb of his mother, so he could certainly be saved from an untimely death due to the ill will of the son of a brahmana. Because the age of Kali began to act just after the assumption of power by Maharaj Parikshit, the first sign of misgivings was exhibited in the cursing of such a greatly intelligent and devoted king as Maharaj Parikshit. The king is the protector of the helpless citizens, and their welfare, peace, and prosperity depend on him. Unfortunately, by the instigation of the fallen age of Kali, an unfortunate brahmana's son was employed to condemn the innocent Maharaj Parikshit, and so the king had to prepare himself for death within 7 days. Maharaj Parikshit is especially famous as one who is protected by Vishnu, and when he was unduly cursed by a brahmana's son, he could have invoked the mercy of the Lord to save him. But he did not want to, because he was a pure devotee. A pure devotee never asks the Lord for any undue favor. Maharaj Parikshit knew that the curse of the brahmana's son upon him was unjustified, as everyone else knew, but he did not want to counteract it, because he knew also that the age of Kali had begun, and that the first symptom of the age, namely degradation of the highly talented brahmana community, had also begun. He did not want to interfere with the current of the time, but he prepared himself to meet death very cheerfully and very properly. Being fortunate, he got at least 7 days to prepare himself to meet death, and so he properly utilized the time in the association of Shukadeva Goswami, the great saint and devotee of the Lord. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Kauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Dinamine Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabhaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhurya Ujvala Premadhyaya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktita Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshat Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambhara Sambhode Padambujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gauravir Bhava Bhume Stvang Nirdeshta Sajjana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarva Bhomak Shri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanang Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Dabatarang Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Kruna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatang suratau pangur mama manda matergati matsarvasva padam bhuchau radha madana mohanau divyad brindaranya kalpadrumadha shrimad ratnagara singhasanasthau shrimad radha shrila govinda devau prishtali bhiksevyamanak smarami shrimad rasara sarambhi bangshi batatatak stitaha Karshan Venus Vanair Gopir Gopinatak Shriestunaha Taptakanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindaye Tulsi Devye Priyaye Keshavashcha Krishna Bhakti Pradye Devi Satyavatyaye Namo Namaha Shri Nishringha Jaya Nishringha Jaya Jaya Nishringha Prahladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Matsamo Nasti Papatma Naparadhi Chakashchana Parihare Pilajame King Brube Purushottama Yuvati Nang Yata Yuni Yunang Cha Yuvatau Yata Mano Bhi Ramate Tadvan Mano Me Ramatang Twayi Bhumaus Kalita Padanang Bhumire Vavalambanam Tvai jata paradhanam, tvameva sharanam prabho, Govinda valabhe radhe, prarthaye tvang mahansada, tvadiyam iti janatu, tvaya saha, radhe brindavanadhishe, karunamrita vahini, kripaya nijapadabja, dasyang mahyang pradiyatam, vande nanda vrajastrinang, padarenum abhikshnashaha, Yasang harikatod gitang punati pupanatrayam Namashreshtang manumapi shachi putramatra surupang Shri rupang tasraga jamurupurin maturin goshtavatim Radha kundang girivaram ahoradhika madhavashang Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurung tang natosmi Adatanas trinang dantair idang yache punak punaha Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Rajohang Syam Bhave Bhave Hantayam Madri Rabala Haridasya Varyo Yadrama Krishna Charanas Parashat Smurmodaha Manang Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Tayoriyat Paniya Suya Vasakandara Kundama Mulahi Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. How was the great Emperor Parikshit, who was a highly intelligent and great devotee, born in that womb? How did his death take place, and what did he achieve after his death? Hare Krishna, welcome. Please have a seat. You can sit in chairs or up in the or wherever you like. Make yourself comfortable. So we hear here that. At least up until the time of the son of Emperor Parikshit, the king of Hastinapur was also the emperor of the world. Who knows the name of the son of Parikshit Maharaj? Janmanjaya. Very good, Janmanjaya. So he... Was he the son or grandson? He was the son, right? Parikshit was the grandson of Arjuna, because Parikshit Maharaj was son of Abhimanyu. So, at that time, the emperor of Hastinapur, King Pandu, and then the regent Dhritarashtra, and then the winner of the Battle of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhishthir, they were emperors of the whole world. All the other kings in the world would pay tribute to them, and they performed the Rajasuya sacrifice. And so Maharaj Parikshit was saved by the Lord in the womb of his mother. We heard that story. So certainly he could be saved by, from an untimely death due to the ill will of the son of a brahmana. Srila Prabhupada concentrates in this purport on that discussion. Only pure devotees can attract Krishna. Krishna is not attracted to anything but pure devotional service. And Krishna, he's enjoying also. Just like we like to enjoy, so he likes to enjoy. And his enjoyment is exclusively enjoyment of relationships with pure devotees. So pure devotees are very, very special. And they don't necessarily display mystic powers like accomplished yogis, but actually they're more powerful. And we know that story of how Durvasa Muni was defeated by Maharaj Ambarish. I'll tell you something about that story. But the pure devotee is not interested in taking any favor from the Lord. Pure devotee only wants to serve the Lord. Even liberation. We read this morning in the Damodar Ashtakam, I have no use for any opulences. I don't want even impersonal liberation. I don't even want the liberation of residence in Vaikuntha. All I want is to see the beautiful face of Krishna being kissed by Mother Yashoda with its red lips and his black hair. And, seeing that beautiful vision, any other kind of boon would be redundant for me. I'm not interested in it, you know. So this is the position of the pure devotee. The pure devotee doesn't want to take any special boon from Krishna. So in this case of Maharaj Parikshit was emperor of the world just at the time when Kali Yuga started. Hare Krishna, welcome. And so in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we will be hearing over the next couple of years, because we're going through a chapter every 8 or 9 months or something like that. But we'll be hearing as we go through the next couple of years about how this age of Kali began during the reign of Emperor Parikshit and how he received the age of Kali. The personality of the age of Kali was torturing a cow and who was the earth, and a bull who was Dharma. And so we'll be learning about how it's the season, you know, just like we have, it's Kartik season and the fall is, the rains are coming now in California, and the seasons change and different things happen. So, of course, also in the cycle of four yugas, in Satya Yuga, it's the season when everybody is very self-controlled and people live for a long time and they have great qualities of being able to practice yoga, and they have mystic siddhis and things are very peaceful. And then in the Treta Yuga and Dwapara Yuga, there are different qualities. Actually, this cycle of four yugas when Krishna appeared, the Dwapara and Treta Yuga were reversed. Ordinarily, Dwapara Yuga comes first, then Treta Yuga comes second. But this time, Treta Yuga came first and then Dwapara Yuga. Hare Krishna! And then comes Kali Yuga. And Kali Yuga is a time when the lifespan of the human beings is very short, only 100 years, and the memory is not very good. People are lazy, they tend to be quarrelsome, unlucky. And all these descriptions of Kali Yuga are there, both in the first canto and then especially in the 12th canto. How families don't stay together, the government taxes the citizens very heavily and doesn't provide them with much services. People can't get justice in the court unless they can afford to pay for it or for bribes or... all these many bad qualities have come. So Maharaj Parikshit saw that this time was coming. And significantly, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the advent of this Kali Yuga was marked by the cursing of Maharaj Parikshit by a unqualified, by a son of a brahmana. Brahmanas used to have great power, that their curses would always take effect. They also could, to perform sacrifice, they would be able to light the fire simply by mantras. They were very, very powerful. And of course, nowadays, if they had such power, they would go around cursing, you know, like they're driving down the street in a car and someone cuts them off, and all of a sudden that car would burst into fire, you know. So we don't... It's a good thing that that people don't have so many powers now, because they wouldn't have the responsibility to use them correctly. Or those who have the power have to use them correctly. So what happened was Maharaj Parikshit was going out and protecting his citizens, making sure that no one in his kingdom was doing anything wrong. And in the course of his... Or maybe he was hunting because he was protecting them from wild animals. I don't know. Don't remember. But in the course of his activities, and he was off in the forest, and he became very thirsty by the arrangement of Yogamaya, so that the pastime would go. And he came to the hermitage of a Brahmin who was sitting in samadhi, wrapped in meditation, and not aware of what was going on externally. So this Brahmin was not aware that the king had come to visit him and didn't get up to receive him. The king was very, very thirsty, and he tried to rouse the Brahmin from his meditation, but the Brahmin remained in meditation. And by the influence of Yoga Maya, although it wouldn't be the King Parikshit's nature as a pure devotee to do so, he reacted because he was very thirsty and he wasn't offered water. He saw the dead body of a snake lying nearby, and he decided to offer, like you would offer a holy person, a garland. So he offered the sage garland of a dead snake. And so he insulted the sage, which wasn't the right thing to do. So when the son of the sage heard about it, the son's name was Sringi, and he was a small boy. But he was a Brahmin boy, and he had powers to curse. And when he heard that his father had been insulted in this way, he became very angry. He shouldn't have become very angry. He should have been forgiving. That the king is a great king, a great devotee, very talented, intelligent, and protector of the people, emperor of the world, and he made a mistake. Be forgiving. But because the influence of the age of Kali, you know, it affects everyone, even the Brahmins, or maybe it starts from the top, you know, the corruption starts from the top, that those who are supposed to give instruction and spiritual qualities and you know, piety to the rest of the human society, they also became infected by the age of Kali. So this was exemplified by Sringi. He cursed Maharaj Parikshit that within 7 days he will die by the bite of a snake bird. And so this was a horrible thing. This was a horrible curse. And when the boy's father found out about it, he felt very sorry, and he, you know, he, but, you know, the boy had done the curse, and Parikshit Maharaj did not have to accept the curse, being a great devotee. Krishna would protect him, just as he protected him in the womb. But he recognized that it was part of the plan of the Lord, that this is the... He didn't want to interfere with the current of time, Srila Prabhupada said. He did not want to interfere with the current of the time. So he prepared himself to meet his death very cheerfully. He accepted it as the Lord's mercy, that this is the arrangement of the pastime. So why not accept my death and set a good example of how someone, a devotee, should die? Because we have these material bodies. I suppose pure devotees can do anything because they can attract Krishna. So Krishna can do anything. So, and Krishna sells himself to his pure devotees. So his pure devotees don't have to die, right? They don't have to get old or anything. But they do. They display in this world, they display themselves, they portray themselves just as ordinary people, because they don't want to attract cheap followers by a show of magical, mystical powers that make people only interested in mystical powers. They want to say, no, what the real thing is, what the real goal is, what the real attainment should be, is to attain devotional service. And even the miseries, that old age, death, disease, these are impetuses to us to recognize this is not our real business, this is not our real identity. Our real identity belongs in the spiritual world with Krishna. And they don't interfere with the will of Krishna. They don't want to take special help from Krishna ordinarily. Sometimes they do amazing things. We hear stories of them being protected by Krishna. But even that, it's not because they're pleading. Like Prahlad Maharaj was protected by Krishna, although his father tried to kill him in many ways. But it wasn't like he was always saying, protect me from being hurt by my father. Rather, he was always just happy to be remembering Krishna. In fact, he told Lord Nrisingadev asked him, ask me for some boon, ask me for some benediction. And he said, I don't want anything for myself, only that I can always remember you. That's the prayer of a devotee. Let me always remember you, let me always serve you, let me give you what you want. I don't want anything. So, I always thought that they always have these, in science fiction, they always talk about time travel and, going back in time. And of course, you get to know what's going to happen in the future. But there's all these paradoxes, like what if you do something different now that changes what's going to happen so that you don't get born later? Then how could you have been born to come back in time and all these things? But I always thought that if someone can travel back in time or they can know exactly what the future will be, like Vyasadeva, who said to know, be tri kalagya. He knew everything in the past, everything in the present, and the future, just like Krishna knows. So then this would create also the paradox of free will. Then you would be, if you knew what everybody's going to do, then you could interfere with what they were going to do. And then, but I think that if someone knows past, present, and future, they know the time and everything, then they won't interfere. They won't interfere. They'll accept the plan of the current of time. They'll accept the plan of the Lord. And yet it's a paradox, because Krishna also intervenes on behalf of his devotees. He intervenes in the ordinary course of events on behalf of his devotees. Or he says that I'm equal to everyone, but then I'm especially favorable to my devotees. So I told you, I would tell you the story about Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj was a great king and a great pure devotee. And he performed a vow. Just like it's Kartik now, many people are having vows. Shraddha's not taking sweets all month. So he had performed a fasting. In order to perform this sacrifice, you have to fast. And then on the Dwadashi, he had to break fast by the appointed hour within a certain window of time. And just as he was ready to perform all the rituals for breaking the fast, and he had all these priests, brahmanas around him, everyone advising him, the sage Durvasa Muni arrived. And he was hungry. And the king received him very well. And he said, oh, I'm so glad you've come, this auspicious occasion. And we're going to finish our ritual and break the fast, and we'd like you to come and take your meal with us. Sage Durvasa agreed, and he said, first let me go and take my bath at the river, do my duties at the river. So Durvasa Muni went to take his bath, and he took a very long time. And the time in which to break the fast was decreasing. That now the whole vow had been done and the fasting had been done and all the sacrifice was in place and all the priests were there, and it was important that the fast be broken, but the king had to break his fast before the time elapsed that he in which he could do so. So he discussed with his priests and he suggested, and they agreed, that he could break his fast and yet not eat before Durvasa. I mean, this would be offense to the sage if he ate before the Muni came back. He could break his fast and not break his fast at the same time by just drinking water, because drinking water can be considered breaking the fast for purposes of the ritual, for purposes of the vow. But it should not be offensive to the sage that he drank some water, especially under these circumstances, that he didn't eat anything before the sage ate. So the brahmanas all agreed that this was a good solution, and he did this. But wouldn't you know it, this wasn't satisfying to Durvasa Muni, who, when he came back, he immediately knew by mystic power everything that had transpired, and he was very offended, furious. How dare he think he's better than me, that he can drink water before he's offered me something to eat. And so the sage created a big demon. He created this gigantic demon who, with fiery hair and eyes like molten copper, and came to kill Maharaj Ambarish. And Maharaj Ambarish was not afraid of the demon. He was prepared to accept whatever happened. He's a devotee, pure devotee. Narayana parak sarve nakutashchana pipyati swarga pubargyasya narakeshu apituljati darshanam. In another situation, Lord Shiva told Parvati about the qualities of the great Vaishnavas who are Narayana para. They're not afraid of anything, and they accept with an equal vision heaven, hell, or liberation as all the same, because they see Krishna everywhere. So Ambarish Maharaj, he didn't retaliate, he didn't become frightened. But in that instance, to show that pastime, what he wanted to show at that time, Lord Narayan immediately sent Sudarshan Chakra and just burned the demon up to smithereens before it could do anything to harm Ambarish Maharaj. And after Sudarshan burned up this demon, came after Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni could see what was happening. My demon was defeated, was destroyed by Vishnu's disc. And then he began to run away in great fear as the disc was chasing him everywhere. And he went to Lord Brahma, and he went to Lord Shiva, and they couldn't protect him. And he even went to Vaikuntha, and he went to Lord Narayan, and he said, "Protect me from your disc." And Narayan said, "I can't protect you from my disc, because I am owned by my devotees. I'm beholden by my devotees." What he said was, "I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the core of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. O best of the brahmanas, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. Since the pure devotees give up their homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, and even their lives simply to serve me without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next, how can I give up such devotees at any time? As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of their heart bring me under their full control. My devotees, who are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service, are not interested even in the four principles of liberation, Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya, and Sharshti, although these are automatically achieved by their service. What then is to be said by such perishable happiness as elevation to the higher planetary systems? The pure devotees is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. O Brahmana, let me now advise you for your own protection. Please hear from me. By offending Maharaj Ambarish, you have acted with self-envy. Therefore, you should go to him immediately without a moment's delay. One's so-called prowess, when employed against the devotee, certainly harms he who employs it. Thus, it is the subject, not the object, who is harmed. For a brahmana, austerity and learning are certainly auspicious, but when acquired by a person who is not gentle, such austerity and learning are most dangerous. O best of the brahmanas, you should therefore go immediately to King Ambarish, the son of Maharaj Nabhaga. I wish you all good fortune. If you can satisfy Maharaj Ambarish, then there will be peace for you. And of course, Ambarish Maharaj forgave him and spared his life. The verse earlier in the chapter, the verse describing the qualities of Ambarish Maharaj says, Sangvardhayanti yat kamaha svarajya paribhavitaha durlabhanapi siddhanang mukundam hridi pashyataha. Those who are saturated with the transcendental happiness of rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead are uninterested even in the achievements of great mystics, for such achievements do not enhance the transcendental bliss felt by a devotee who always thinks of Krishna within the core of his heart. So devotees, pure devotees, are so happy that they have no interest in attaining the mystic perfections. Like yogis have these perfections, anima, they can become very small, laghima, they can become lighter, then they can walk on water or float in the air. Prapti, they can reach things from very far away and take them. There are eight of them. They can defy the laws of nature. They can create a whole universe. They can bring people under their will and get people to do whatever they want. They can expand themselves into different forms, or like television images of themselves that can appear in different places. They have these different powers that they can achieve by sense control. And nevertheless, devotees have no interest in having those powers or exploiting those powers, although they could easily have all of them by the will of Krishna. If Krishna wills it, they're prepared to do anything for Krishna. And if Krishna doesn't want it, in this case, in order to make the pastime go, Krishna wanted Parikshit Maharaj to accept the curse of the Brahmin, Hare Krishna, to accept the curse of the Brahmin boy and to set an example of how to fearlessly and cheerfully prepare oneself to die. And so Parikshit Maharaj did not counteract the curse. We hear of a lot of stories where pure devotees, there's one story where Garuda was cursed. There's a lot of stories where pure devotees are cursed. And we always hear in Prabhupada's books that they don't have to accept the curse because of, someone like Garuda, he doesn't have to accept a curse. There was one sage, his name was Chobhari Muni. And this is why the Kaliya snake was able to be in that part of the Jamuna River and have his poison there. Was because that sage was under the water there meditating, and Garuda used to come there and eat the fish, and there was some dispute between the fish and Garuda that if he would just take one fish, they would be satisfied or something like that. So he took the leader of the fish. And so the other fish were very sorry. And the sage cursed Garuda. And he said that if Garuda comes to this place, then he will die. So the sage who made that curse, because he cursed Garuda, he had to fall down and go and enjoy material happiness for a time and give up his practice of yoga, which was a fall down for him. But Garuda didn't have to accept the curse, but he was going to abide by that curse. And Kaliya Naga knew that Garuda wouldn't come there. So he was a great, Garuda is the great enemy of snakes. He's always eating all the snakes. So Kaliya had tried to do battle with Garuda and knew that Garuda would come and destroy him. In fact, even after Krishna chastised Kaliya and made him into a devotee, then Kaliya said, "Well, but where can I go? Garuda will find me." And Krishna said, "No, now he will see the marks of my lotus feet on your head and he won't bother you." So devotees are immune from curses, and anyone who curses the devotee, that person will suffer. That person will suffer the effects of his own curse. So it's not good to curse a devotee. But this story is there to show how Parikshit Maharaj, we will be hearing about how Parikshit Maharaj accepted the fate. This is how devotees are. They don't, they're not God. They're a servant of God. They don't assert themselves or take God's help to do things that are outside of God's plan, but rather they just serve God's plan within the powers that God has allotted to them and the talents and qualities that God has allotted to them. And although it's Kali Yuga, and this is the season of people being irritable and miserable and short-lived and lazy and unlucky and misguided, it's a time within Kali Yuga that the devotees have come. Lord Chaitanya has come spreading the Sankirtan movement, and he's ordered all the devotees, all his followers, to go everywhere and preach the glories of the Sankirtan movement and the glories of pure devotional service. In fact, this very special devotional service of the residents of Vrindavana. And so the time has come for us also, for our annual Christmas marathon, the end of the year Sankirtan marathon. And this is the festival of 25,000 books to be distributed. And so so we're not interfering with time. We shouldn't think that we're interfering with the current of the time, but actually we're participating in the current of the time. And we're very fortunate that we've been given this, just like Arjuna was given this task to become my instrument and achieve glory in fighting the battle of Kurukshetra. So we're also, all of us here, should have become the instruments of Lord Chaitanya and achieve glory in preaching Krishna consciousness, becoming pure ourselves and distributing that happiness and purity of Krishna consciousness to other people. We don't have... Yes?
Regarding what you said, you know, Lord Chaitanya wanted everyone to go and preach. But the exact words he used is, you know, whoever was born in Bharatvarsh, first of all has to make his life, his own life perfect, and then go and preach. But I haven't heard that he asked, you know, anyone just go and preach. So can you say something about it?
Well, how will we preach very well if we don't make our own lives perfect?
Yes.
But how will we make our lives perfect if we don't carry out his orders also?
Yes, but his order is, first of all, make your own life perfect and then go and preach.
Janma sartika kari kara para upakar. Yeah, and this preaching will also make their lives perfect. So, not that you be a drunkard and a debauchee and an ignorant fool and then you go out and tell everybody, oh, you know, I'm from India, you should follow Hindu religion or something like that. That won't be very effective. But what he said is, Bharat Bhumite Haila Manushya Janmayar, Janma Sartika Karyakara Para Upakar. Making their lives perfect, they should go and give the highest welfare work, because there are so many welfare activities, charities, telethons, you know, raising money to help different people in, you know, different miserable conditions, poor people, sick people, and so forth, looking for cures for diseases. But the highest welfare work is to give Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we can save someone's body, but it's just like saving the coat and shirt of a drowning man. If you just save their shirt and coat, but let them drown, what's the difference? So if you save someone, you know, by ameliorating their miserable material condition temporarily, only to let them, you know, have to get old and die later, without changing their future. That's another thing in this verse that they asked about. What did he achieve after his death? The sages were asking about Parikshit Maharaj, how he was born, how he died, and what happened after he died. So that's something that, you know, something happens to us after we die. The materialistic philosophers, they think, oh, nobody can know, or else nothing happens. Because we can only speak of things that we can perceive with our senses, and we can't perceive what happens to someone after death. What is it in Hamlet? In the famous soliloquy, it's like the undiscovered country from which no traveler ever returns. So, because we can't have some sense experience that everyone can agree on, we'll just say nobody can know or nothing happens. But these sages were not so limited. They were curious. What did he achieve after his death? And that's what the highest welfare work is, to be able to help someone not only in their current condition and their current miserable situation, but also to protect people from the misery that awaits them later in their next life. And that can be easily achieved by distributing the holy names of Krishna and the holy books of Srila Prabhupada. Rakshit Prabhu.
In that connection, you mentioned about this MSF that's going on. So devotees, in fact, today are planning to go out, and they were thinking of going out early today. One of the plans is to go to San Ramon, where they are going to distribute books as well as in the local area.
Yes. So going out early, so I think we should stop here and have Guru Puja, and then go out and distribute lots of books today. Everybody knows where they're going?
I believe so. There is Praveena Mataji would be here. I think she had asked devotees to choose from some sites. So from what we know, one of the sites is San Ramon, where there are several apartments that are going to be visited. And that's after prasadam to about 5 o'clock or so. The other site is India Cash and Carry in Sunnyvale, those who want to remain local. And some devotees may also go out door to door. So it's a matter of teaming up with appropriate group leaders. So the official venue is door-to-door San Ramon, time given 10:30 to 5 p.m., and India Cash and Carry Sunnyvale, and that time is 11 a.m., starting 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And right here, we will have some devotees will be going out at these spots, so it's just a matter of connecting with them and joining the party. That's the idea.
Jai. So 10:30, we've already gone over our time.
In fact, since we came up on this subject, there was some suggestion from Vaisheshika Prabhu for these Saturdays to encourage devotees to go out early. And he was wondering whether a format could be that the program starts at 7 with the aarti, and Guru Puja could follow immediately after that, 7:15 or so. Then would be the Brahma Samhita reading, Bhagavatam class, and we would kind of end early, so that they are free by 10 o'clock to go out or so. Okay. Some suggestion for future ones.
Okay.
Great.
But we should today we should have Guru Puja, right?
Surely. Well, if it's not been done, then we would have it. But next time around, we can have it after the 7 o'clock arti.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hari Bom. Krantarar Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.